Good morning and Christian greetings to each one gathered here this morning. It's a privilege to be here. Look forward to worshiping together. And there's a couple faces that I recognize, but a number of you that don't know as well. But one thing we do know is that we have the same word, the same God, and that's what we want to look into and learn from this morning. Brother Stewart mentioned we have kind of a change of plans in our family. My wife Charlotte and youngest daughter Danae were planning to be here, but Danae got sick last night, so Charlotte and her were not able to come along this morning, but still glad to be here, and we look forward to worshiping together. I also bring you greetings from Great Lakes. Be interesting to have a raise of hands. How many of you have been to Great Lakes? It's a lot smaller than this group is, and we always enjoy company, visitors, so as you have opportunity to come up to Great Lakes, you're welcome. We'd love to have you there. Appreciated the service this morning. It's amazing to me how, you know, as Christians, we have a very central heartbeat or heart throb, and that is to honor God, to glorify God with our lives by walking in obedience and faithfulness. The song that we sung before Sunday school, "I Need Thee Every Hour," a little bit of an introduction to what I wanted to share about this morning, which is I'd like to focus on the title of the message, "The Value of Personal Worship," or devotional life. I'd like to think about that this morning. To me, that's imperative in our Christian walk, is our personal relationship with God. And this idea of devotional life is something that we refer to quite often. We talk about it in passing, and we know what we mean. When I say personal devotions, I think you have I'm confident that you have a context of some kind in relation to your own personal experience with that. But this morning, I'd like to think about some specifics, maybe some practical directions, some details in relation to devotional life. First of all, as I think about the term devotion, what comes to your mind when you think about devotion? And I know for me, what I expect you would think of is a specific time of Bible reading, meditation, and prayer. And I think that's a good answer. And that's primarily what I'd like to discuss this morning. But there's more to devotion than just completing a checklist of activities. Had my devotions done. It reminds me of a friend of mine. He was from Michigan, just a neighbor friend. We enjoyed a lot of Bible discussions together, and he was a Bible scholar, inside and out. He knew the Bible very well. He would teach me about the Hebrew meaning and the Greek meaning, and we talked about the Apocrypha and all kinds of deep Bible study. And he loved Bible study. He'd get up in the morning and start studying the Bible, and he would study the Bible most of the day. And the next day, he'd do the same thing. He knew a lot about Scripture. Is that the ultimate devotions? That's just the best? Or how does that play in? I guess this morning I think that there's no, you can't study the Bible too much. We need to study the Bible, and that's a good thing. But Jesus says in Matthew, is it Matthew 24, 25? "Blessed is he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Blessed is he that doeth. This morning it's not just about picking up your Bible and knowing exactly what it says, but real devotion, I think, is when we turn that into practical everyday living, and we We study the scripture, and then we go out and put it into practice and make it happen. Put it to work. Blessed is he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. True devotion to God is more than a designated activity. It's a life-changing commitment to God. And it starts with understanding what God wants us to do. What does devotion mean? I'd just like to look at the word devotion a little bit. It means to devote. Devote means to surrender or give up something. This morning, you came to church, and you, to a lot of us, it's a habit, but you devoted a certain amount of time. As you think about your week, Sunday morning, we're going to church from whatever, 8 to 12, 1 o'clock. That's church. You devote that. They passed the offering basket this morning, and there's a lot of people that devote funds. This is going to help with the need, whatever it is. You surrender those funds, you surrender that time, you give it up, and you put it towards that. You're devoted. There's a sense of devotion that goes with that. And there's other examples that we could think about, but the point of that I'd like to make in relation to that is that devotion takes sacrifice. If you're devoted to something, you often will surrender something, one thing or another. Sometimes it's many things. You'll surrender and you'll sacrifice it in dedication or devotion to a certain thing. What are you devoted to? What are you devoted to this morning? Devotion also means to be similar word, I guess, is dedicated. It's not always difficult to be devoted to something, especially if it's something that you really have a passion for, that you really enjoy. The dictionary definition for the word devotion is love and loyalty, enthusiasm for a person, activity, or cause. If you really love something or someone, being devoted to that is not a difficulty. It's something that we can enjoy. But real devotion is not dependent on feelings. If a person's devotion or dedication is dependent on feelings, today they're committed, but tomorrow they don't feel like it. So the devotion isn't there. That's not true dedication. Real devotion is dedicated. Takes the good with the bad. It's steady and commit, consistent. One other thought I had, devotion places a high value on something. This morning, just throw the question out, how many of you are devoted to God? Well, you know, we're all devoted to God, right? We want to be devoted to God. And as I think about that, isn't that true of a lot of people that you meet? In a, quote, Christian nation, they want to be devoted to God. But as I think about that this morning, ask yourself, do a little test in my life, in your own personal life. A little test. What we value is what we pursue. What we value is what we pursue. So what are you pursuing? Do I pursue work? Is that rank pretty high? Technology, pleasure, family life, God, all those things play into that equation. What do I value? And then I think if you want a real true answer, maybe ask if you're married, ask your spouse that question or ask your children that question. I think that's how we can find the truth out of that. Devotion means to place a high value on something. So this morning, where is your devotion? I have three main points that I'd like to look at. The first one, I feel like they're a little elementary, but that's the easiest for me to connect to this morning. So I share this because it's some things that I face, and hopefully you can apply it to your life. The three main points: why are personal devotions important? Secondly, how can we develop meaningful devotions? And then lastly, I have just a few practical tips in relation to personal devotions. The first one: why are personal devotions important? I think they're important because the enemy desires to deceive and to destroy us. The enemy desires to deceive and destroy us. The enemy of our soul is sly and deceptive. I don't think we'll turn to it, but in Luke, if you wanted to jot it down, Luke chapter 22, verse 31, it talks about, it says, And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to sift you. Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. And he goes on talking about that. Today there's someone that desires to have your soul and really is out to destroy us. And I think that's one reason why personal devotion to God is very, very important. There's a number of verses that I jotted down that speaks about that. Matthew 24, verse 12 to 13. I'll just read some of these if you can listen to them. It says, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." See, there's a desire. Satan wants to take us. And naturally, there's a tendency that our love for God would wax cold. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." That word seducing means roving or misleading or deceiving spirits. It's around us. And I think you personally face those things. I'm sure you do. The devil doesn't let any of us alone. There's a tendency to go away from God, and those misleading and deceiving spirits are out there. That's another reason to stay connected, that we need to stay connected with God. Two other references, if you wanted to write them down: 2 Timothy 4, verse 3 and 4, and also Romans 11, verse 22, talk about Satan's desire to have us. Why are personal devotions important? Number two, the enemy of our soul is not physical but spiritual. Ephesians 6, verse 12 says, "For we wrestle not against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities." It's not a battle of our own flesh and blood, but it's a spiritual battle. And this morning, we think in terms of conquering things as strength, personal commitment, and integrity and power to overcome things. But that's not the battle that we face. I wish I could quote what one of the brothers shared this morning in Sunday school. I jotted it down. It was the last question about complete victory. I might have it here. It was something about complete victory and complete surrender. Complete victory takes complete surrender. That's what it was. And I think that's so, so true and so important. When we think about conquering this thought of the battle's not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, it's kind of ironic that in order to conquer the enemy, that we need to surrender. But that's how it is. The enemy of our soul was not physical, but rather spiritual. Number three, why are personal devotions important? Because we cannot face that roaring lion on our own strength. 1 Peter 5:8 identifies the devil as a roaring lion. We can't do that on our own strength. Point number four, why are personal devotions important? Is because we need to be ready to be called out of this life at any time. I know there's a lot of us consider ourselves pretty young. We think about life, and it seems to float out in front of us, indefinite, but it's definitely not that close. It doesn't feel that close. When I was studying for this, I was amazed at just a few statistics. Did you know that nearly 1.2 million people die in road crashes every year? That's an average of 3,287 deaths a day, just in road accidents. People had no idea. Today was a normal day, and tonight they're gone. An additional 20 to 50 million people are injured or disabled every year. More than half of all road traffic deaths occur among young adults, ages 15 to 44. Sometimes you have that tendency to think that meeting God and death is kind of distant. It's somewhere out there. It's ahead of us. We all know that. But not now. More than 1,000 young people under the age of 25 die from traffic accidents every day. You and I need to be devoted to God because we might not be here tomorrow. And we're going to answer before God for where we are and how we lived our life. The last point on that one, why are personal devotions important? Because that's how I learned to know God. Really, if our goal in life is to honor and worship and glorify God, then that's how we learn to do that, is by studying His Word and learning to know Him. I'd like to look at and identify a few points for developing meaningful devotions. To do that, turning your Bibles back to Genesis. A couple Old Testament, I call them patriarchs, that we can learn from. Genesis chapter 6. Do you think Noah had personal devotions? I don't know if he did or not. It's probably, I would assume, a little different, maybe a little different than what we do. I don't think he had the written law like we do, the Bible. But there's a lot of things that we can learn from this. And I'd like, chapter 6. There we go. That's what I want, is Genesis 6. And I'd like to read, let's just start at verse 5 and read down to verse 8. It says, "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping things, and the fowl of the air, for it repented me that I had made them." Just stop there a second. Think about, what do you think he would say about America today? Did you think God, it repented me that I have made them? Verse 8, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." And I'd like to read verse 9. Yeah, these are the generations of Noah. "Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God." I heard that this morning in Sunday school too, that if we want complete victory, we need to walk with God. I think that's very, very important. Couple things that I'd like to draw out of these few verses. How can we develop meaningful personal devotions? Meaningful devotions come with a choice to follow God. Comes with a choice to follow God. So what was different about Noah than all the rest of the people here on, what does it say? The wickedness of man was great, and every imagination of the thought was evil continually. And who was saved out of all those people? It was just Noah and his family. So what was different about Noah? I think verse 8 says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and in verse 9, Noah walked with God. I'd like to underscore that thought. Meaningful devotion to God comes with a choice to follow God. God, I will follow you. I'm going to do this. A commitment to walk with God. I'm going to be different than the other people that are around us. Today there's thousands, millions of people that are just following themselves, following their heart. And that's how you develop the great wickedness of man and the evil imaginations that are around us when people follow their own heart. But this morning, if we want to be devoted to God, we need to choose to follow God. Thousands of people on the earth have not chosen to follow God. They just drifted along with natural tendencies. This morning, I'd like to throw that out as a real, I was going to use the word caution. I don't think that's strong enough. A snare, maybe, to just drift along with the majority. No choice to honor and follow God. Just roll along. Yesterday, the same as today is the same as yesterday. You just evolve. Just continue. Just keep going. That path does not lead to devotion to God. It does not lead to heaven and eternal rest. That is a path that the devil wants us to follow, to take us to eternal ruin. It takes a commitment, willing to be different from those around us, from society around us, a choice to follow God. Meaningful devotions start with a choice. I will choose to devote my life to seeking after God. Is that some kind of a choice? Is that choice something that we make one time? You remember the day when you gave your heart to Christ, and from there, sometimes we hear the term happily ever after. That's not the Christian life. This morning, that choice needs to be made every day to follow Jesus, sometimes more often than every day. It's a continual choice, something that we need to choose. Point number two, meaningful devotion comes by walking with God. We talked a little bit about that in verse 9. Noah was a just man, perfect in all his generation, and Noah walked with God. I wonder if, when I read that, he walked with God. I don't know. I guess we don't know. How did he do that? How did Noah walk with God? Was God right there with him? John says that no man has seen God at any time. I'm not exactly sure how that was, but there's one thing we do know, that Noah, as he walked with God, he heard God. And it wasn't some abstract, you know, I think that was God. It wasn't that way at all, because what he heard from God was that Noah, you're to build an ark. And Noah went ahead and did that, and he invested a tremendous amount into doing that. I don't believe that was just an abstract, we're going to just try this. But Noah walked with God, and he heard God. He knew that he was walking with God. Do I intentionally listen for God to speak to me? God desires to speak to his people today. When we are walking with God, we can hear and understand what he says. Do you walk with God? When you have your personal devotions, when you study the Word, when you read the Word, is it just text that you read and, and try to understand? Or do you actually listen for God to talk to you as you study the Scriptures? I think the New Testament is written for Christians. It comes alive, and it can specifically speak to the needs in our lives if we listen, if we're looking for it. God desires to speak to each one of us today. If you desire a more meaningful devotional life, listen for God to speak to you as you read the Word, and listen for Him communicating with you through His Word, through His Holy Spirit, through the brotherhood, through song, through nature. There's many, many other ways that we can hear God if we're open and listening. How many times do I tune it out? I'm not even expecting to hear from God, and then I don't hear from God. We need to listen for God. Also, how did Noah walk with God? Noah walked with God by obeying what God asked him to do. Thus did Noah, according to as God commanded him, so did he. If we want to walk with God, we need to obey what he says and be obedient. The third point, meaningful devotion comes when we worship God. Does your personal devotions include worship? Whether it's morning or evening, whenever it is, you get open the Word, you read, you pray, do you worship? That's something that's a challenge to my own life. Do I worship God? Bible reading and prayer are good and essential. We need to do that, but God desires our worship. And I think worship is reverence. It's thinking about how great God is and how small I am. It's that feeling you get when you walk outside on a really clear, still night, and you look up at the sky, and you really think about what you're seeing. It's just that there's reverence. There's that feeling of reverence. God desires reverence, adoration, that we would admire and honor God as much better than ourselves. Meaningful devotion comes when we worship God. Point number four, meaningful devotions come when we verbally tell others about God's goodness. You don't have to turn to it, but Genesis 41, the story of Joseph. Verse 16, it says, when Pharaoh wanted his dream answered, Joseph answered Pharaoh saying, "It is not of me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." Today, there's a lot of people that think that real good devotion is just a connection between me and God. Nobody else, just me and God. And it is a relationship between you and God, each one of us personally. There's no doubt about that. But we can grow and deepen that relationship as we share with other people. Joseph had a perfect opportunity to soak up a lot of credit with Pharaoh. Right here, I did that. I interpreted your dream. But he didn't do that. He chose to honor God instead. How often do you and I acknowledge God's goodness to society around us? If you want to increase, if you want to have a more meaningful devotional life, then be willing to share the things that you're learning. When honored, do I reflect that honor to God? Meaningful devotion comes by telling others about God's goodness. And the last point on this one, number five, meaningful devotion comes when we can acknowledge God in the difficulties of life. And again, from Joseph, Genesis 50, we can turn to it. Verse 20, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good." As you think about personal devotions, meaningful personal devotions, does a lot of your devotional life consist of, "God, I've got a problem. I really need your help." And it's me focused. I know that's how it can be for me. When I have issues in my life, "God, I need help. I need you really bad on this issue." And I think that I don't discredit that at all. We need to communicate with God about that. But do I mostly focus on deliverance, ways of escape, God, help me get out of this issue, this problem. I don't think it's wrong to be real with God. It's never wrong to share your heart and to be honest. But I think it's important that our prayers do not stop with entreating God for deliverance and I want out. I need to get out of this. Help me get away from this. I think that it's important that we focus on God's ability to help us walk through those difficult situations. There's something to learn. God, what do you want me to, what can I learn? How can I better honor you and serve you through this difficult experience? Do my prayers stop with entreating God for the blessings of safety, deliverance, healing, protection, and happiness? I think we should ask for grace, strength, love, and wisdom. It took the pain in Joseph's life in order for there to be food during the famine. It takes trials in our lives to help us learn what God desires us to learn. Meaningful devotions comes from acknowledging God working in our lives in difficult times. Those are just a couple things that, and I know we could talk, there's just a lot more. But in closing this morning, the last point, I just wanted to touch on a few personal or a few suggestions for our personal devotions. And this isn't even point number one, but it's something I wanted to bring out. I think I was in my mid-teens, somewhere around there. And again, I met a neighbor man, friends of our family, and he came up to me one day and he said, John, he said, when you have your personal devotions, how do you do it? You talk about personal devotions. How does that actually work? And honestly, I don't remember what I told him. Probably something about reading the Bible and praying. But I do remember what he told me. He said, this is how I think it should be. And he said that as you face difficulties, as you face challenges, as you open your life before God, you can often think of specific issues in your life, things that you're facing. And he said, I like to identify those things that I'm facing. Pray and ask God to show me that I would be open to him and that God would actually show me some answers to those questions. And then he said, however your Bible reading plan is, you flip open the Bible to where you're reading and you think about those issues in your life and you ask God to show me, teach me as I read. And he said, as you read, he said, you read slowly and really think about what God's asking and what God's saying. And you do that. He said, it's not about volume, but look for the answers to the questions that you're facing as you read the word. And then compare it with other scriptures. And he said, you'll be amazed at how the word can answer a lot of the questions that you face in your life. And I remember as a teenager, I thought, you know, I think there's something to that. I think that's right. And to this day, I still believe that. That God's word has answers if we are willing to look for them and if we're willing to allow the word to speak to us. Point number one, a few suggestions. I have 10 of them here I'd like to go over real quick. Make it a normal habit. Do your best at being consistent. Consistency is very important. When we begin to make excuses for not having our devotions, guess what? There's always room for another excuse. And it can develop from a good habit into something lax and passive. The devil wants us to be inconsistent with that. So make it a normal habit. If you do not have your devotions, don't give up as a failure, but make needed adjustments. Pick up from there, from where you're at, and keep trying. This is, again, I speak from my own experience. Sometimes if you do not have your personal devotions, the devil has a way of, you know what, it's not worth it. You really can't do this. And that's a lie. That's not true. Do your best. Keep trying, and be consistent. Point number two, make it a time that you can be awake and alert. I think that's important. Question often comes up, when should I have my personal devotions? Falling asleep or being so worn out that you cannot meditate is not conducive to healthy communication. It doesn't work in married life, it doesn't work in family life, and it definitely doesn't work in your spiritual life. We need to be awake and alert. It's a time of communication. Thinking about the question of when should I have my personal devotions, as I was studying for this, you look through the Word, and it's amazing the times that Jesus got up early in the morning and went apart to pray. I don't know when Noah did, but it says about Abraham that he got up early. I think it's most important is that each person can find a time when they can be awake and alert, regardless of whether it's what time it is. If you're repeatedly too tired to have devotions, then you need to take responsibility for your situation and change something so that it does not repeatedly occur. If you're struggling then change something, do something different. Because to continue doing the same thing doesn't make it any better. Make a time that you can be awake and alert. Point number three, do the best you can to find a private place to communicate with God. You don't need a private office to meet God. But I think it is important and conducive to devotional life to find a place where you can do the best you can with the resources that you have and try to find a place where you're not distracted. That can enhance communication and meditation. Number four is accept your circumstances. Do the best you can with faithful consistency in your devotional life. And I thought about this, I guess, in relation to parents, especially moms with little children. I know it can be tough to be able to find alone time when you're not completely exhausted. And I just like to encourage you to do the best that you can and don't be frustrated with the circumstances, but rather accept those circumstances and ask God to help you and to show you. There's two things that I think are important there. One is that back in the beginning of the message, I mentioned that devotions need to be more than a checklist mentality. A child interrupted your personal devotions, seek God through the whole day. You don't have to just have a solitude 5 minutes, 10, 15 minutes, whatever designated time to meet with God. That's very important, very important. And do that as often as you can. But if it's interrupted, look for other opportunities to meet with God. And don't be discouraged in that. The second thing is, and I really want to try to be understood with this, and that is that I'm not a mom. I don't know how it is to be that under that kind of pressure with the children all day, every day. But I would say, sometimes I think we can make excuses that, you know what, a busy mom just really doesn't have time for devotions. And this morning, I'd like to say that's not true. That shouldn't be true, because you do need to connect with God. If there's anybody that needs to connect with God, it's the moms. Dads as well. But don't write it off as, you know what, it just doesn't work for me to really sit down and have time with God. You need that. And I would really encourage you in that. Don't be discouraged. Just do the best you can. And find God in every day. All right, number five, don't let God behind in your closet when you close your Bible. Work at developing a continual God-conscious attitude throughout the entire day. Watch for lessons that God has for you. Think about God trying to communicate with you and look for opportunities to glorify and honor God. Number 6, carry scripture verses in your pocket. Proverbs 3, verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. It's been a real inspiration for me. A simple thing is a little yellow sticky note on my desk. God shows you, or you're impressed with a certain verse or a note. Write yourself a note. I stick it in my shirt pocket. Throughout the day as I'm working, I might think about that and can't quite get it together. And there it is. And it reminds you of God. Another thing that does for me is you're working, oh yes, and you see it. And it's a reminder of God. Don't let God behind in the closet. Take him with you through the day. Number 7, use scripture as a sword. Use scripture as a sword. As you study the word, you memorize the word, and you face life and its challenges. Jesus did that when he was tempted in the wilderness. He quoted scripture, and that's an example for you and I today. We can use the Bible as a sword for those temptations that come to us. Recite what you read throughout the day when faced with temptations or discouragement, and also be ready to share the scripture with other people, others around you, when God gives you opportunity. Number 8, never replace the written word with man's words. That's really important and sort of special to me, because as a young Christian, that's one of the things I remember my father told me. Don't ever let man's words replace the written word of God. Study helps and devotional books, they have their place. They're good. I have no problem with that. Until they replace the word of God. When they replace God's word, they're an idol. God does not have time for idolatry. When you have your personal devotions, we've done this as a family already. You go through a book, and sometimes we'd read Bible stories, and I'm not opposed to that. I think that's good. There's a place for that. But as your children get older, or even your personal devotions, the written text is really important in your personal life. Devotional books that, you know, point you to a reference or a suggested, I think that's great. That's a good thing. Well, let's not let the written word drift out of our lives. There's another point or another thought with that. There's no author that comes to mind. I can't remember, but there's a couple books devotional books that I've read, and it seems like maybe it's on an increase, where it talks about God, where God talks a personal basis. When you read it and it looks like God talking to you personally, I have a problem with that. We have the written word of God, and it's all inclusive. It's here. God doesn't come down and talk. There's no new revelation from God. We already have that. And there's some devotional books that talk about God I still can't say the word, but it's a first-person basis, maybe you would say. And I think we need to be really careful about that, because the text that we have, I think, is all-inclusive. And just don't replace the written word of God with man's words. Number 9, stay with God long enough to grow. As always, remember, what you feed grows. And in my life, the things that I feed, regardless of what it is, it can be good things, lots of good things, but what you feed grows. And if we want our devotional life to grow, we need to feed it. Stay with God long enough to grow. How much time you spend is not as important as if it was meaningful enough to stay with you through the day. How much time you spend, I don't think God keeps track of minutes and hours in the Word. I think he wants us, my goal for my personal devotions is that as I read the Word of God, that it would penetrate my heart deeply enough that as I go through the day, I would remember what I read, and it would influence the choices that I make throughout the day. Stay with God long enough to grow. The last one, number 10. Expect your devotions to influence you toward God. It's not just a time slot that needs filled. Done. Did it all every day for the last week. Check. It's not just a time slot that needs filled. It is that. We need to be consistent. But it's a time when God wants to communicate with us through the Word. And expect God to talk to you. And I'm not talking about maybe the same way he did with Noah. But God wants to communicate with his people. So be open to that and expect that. Ask God to help you grow in your Christian walk. Specifically look for areas to improve or ways to be more like what God wants you to be. A little test as far as I think about my life. How meaningful is my personal devotions? Has it really influenced me toward God? I ask the question, has it changed my life? What direction is my life taking? Am I growing closer to God? Or is it, it's so easy to have God on a shelf. And we're pretty steady. We're pretty flat. We're just a lot like we were last week, last month. God wants us to grow and climb in our Christian life, in our relationship with him. He wants it to deepen. And I encourage you this morning, let's make choices in our personal devotions that can point us closer and closer to God. Jeremiah chapter 24, verse 7 says this. It says, "And I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart." I just like to wish you God's blessing as you seek to honor him and to know him in a more, in a deeper and more personal way in your life. God bless you as you do that. Let's kneel for prayer.